Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mike and I still in here talking with Jason Longshore. Jason, I've taken two more steps back from the ledge. Hey, coming up.
We did the debrief.
Yeah, and it's all good. Listen, all good from the standpoint of we've got some things we've got to figure out. Maybe the time between now, Mike, and our next MLS match will give us that opportunity to figure some of this stuff out. By the way, we're not going to figure it out between now and Wednesday. Wednesday, we just got to go out and play.
Hey, let's just hope that the guys from Monterey, they throw it down. Let's hope that they get out and they hit Atlanta and they enjoy the nightlife and let's just hope we score early and often. We need four goals, brother.
Are you talking about the clubs we have here in town?
Yes. Let's hope that the kids from Monterey get after it.
Magic City. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, and appreciate all the comments, all the text messages, all the stuff coming in. Fowler & Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. You can get in the conversation that way as well. Best way to hit us up, though, is a direct tweet and let us know what you're thinking, man, at Mike Bell ATL and put them up. See Dukes. And Dukes and Bell 929. Daniel Jeremiah on the way in 20 minutes. We will talk about the NFL draft. Mike and I will talk about this between now and April 25th when the draft happens, guys. That's that big Thursday night. It's in Nashville this year. Obviously, the Falcons will be doing some things, and we'll let you in on what's going to happen with the Falcons. But there are some things that we're trying to figure out, and that is go ahead and pick positions. I mean, everybody's got their own position. Oh, I want a D tackle. That's me. Oh, I want an edge rusher. That's me. Mike wants an offensive lineman. We need that. Some people say, you know what, man, let's go get the number one corner in this draft. So whatever position it is, who's the best guy that fits the Falcons? And that's what we're trying to figure out. So we'll talk to Daniel Jeremiah coming up in about 20 minutes. And also, you'll hear what he has to say about a couple of dogs because we got some questions about some of these dogs you've been hearing about as well.
Yeah, some bad 40 times and, you know, the should I stay or should I go with the college game. And certainly with the tight end position and one of the running backs, it might have been, well, I guess if you're Holyfield, you had to come out because you couldn't put more wear and tear on your body, right? You got to do a better 40 time.
That's it. He's got to be faster. Hey, over the weekend, a lot of stuff went down in the NFL. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Hush. Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league. This is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
So, went out over the weekend because I have a life. And I did not see what happened Saturday night. Literally, phone was away, didn't see all this stuff happening with Antonio Brown that really came down late Saturday night. Sunday morning, I get up and I go, what? A new deal? $30 million in guarantee? You've got to be kidding me.
Well, it was so funny how the whole storyline went up. By the way, the Steelers, a great article at ESPN.com explaining how the Steelers have completely screwed the pooch on this deal. They basically self-imposed a deadline on Friday. They're going to do this. Never set a deadline you know you can't necessarily meet, Carl. That's always like business 101. But anyway, the Buffalo Bills thing goes down, only to see that thing blow up. And people, of course, are dogging Antonio Brown. Yeah, good luck with Josh Allen getting you the rock. And then you find out that the Raider thing goes down, and then he gets the $30 million, which kind of indirectly affects us. And by the way, you brought this up last week. Don't worry about what Antonio Brown got, because if anything, Julio's new bump will be restructured and more guaranteed money will be paid. If anything, it can actually lessen the cap hit.
Yeah, which will help the team long run. But it's huge news, and I mentioned this today on the Duke's Dump. You can go check it out at 929thegame.com on the podcast. But the thing that jumped out at me over the weekend in regards to this Antonio Brown situation was that stars, I want to be clear, not busters, not average players.
Superstars
still dictate their fate. They still dictate where they want to go, Mike, and where they want to play. Keyshawn Johnson did it. Randy Moss did it. Khalil Mack did it. T.O. did it. A.B.'s just the latest, okay, of guys to do this. The bigger thing was all those guys got moved, and they ended up somewhere they wanted to be, but none of those guys got their deals ripped up and got $30 million guaranteed. That was the thing.
And that's why it's going to be interesting to see how NFL owners handle Le'Veon Bell. I mean, because the Steelers have basically they've become sort of the case study for how you, as a general manager, you don't want your team to be run, right?
Right.
You just laid it out. You create a situation where there's a wedge divided between you and other players and the coach. They've got to move you off the team. They're taking a $21 million dead cap hit, and they got a third and a fifth rounder for the guy. I mean, that's just unbelievable. And if you go back and look at it, two things. The way the Steelers handled his contract, how they gave out the extension, they basically screwed themselves seven ways to Sunday on this deal. Then you got Mike Tomlin, who's culpable because he doesn't.
No, I'm not.
He gives Antonio Brown an inch, and he takes literally a mile and a half. Then you throw in the Big Ben dynamic where Ben's calling guys out and people feel there's a double standard and how the team is treated their stars. So it's a bad precedent. Odell Beckham might try to do the same thing now with the Giants, they're saying to the New York Post today. So, I mean, if you – but here's the deal. If you're an NFL owner, now what do you do with Le'Veon Bell? Because he basically did the same thing in his own way. Screwed the
yes.
team he was with, sat out.
Yep.
And are you going to reward him?
Well, first of all, there was only one team that was willing to do this. It's the Raiders, okay? It's one thing to make a trade and give up a third and a fifth. It's another to say, I'm going to cut you a new deal. And nobody was willing to do that except the Raiders. So what is the market for Le'Veon Bell? First, running backs, we know this. He's not going to get 19.8 per year, okay? That's what you're talking about with Antonio Brown. So let's just say it's 14, okay, for Le'Veon Bell. Then who else is willing to go out and sign Le'Veon Bell based on what Mike just told you about the history? You're just supposed to dismiss that and go, well, he'll be fine here. He'll be okay. The one thing I will say about John Gruden is, and I don't know if it's going to work in Raiderville or not, but he's dealt with egos and he's dealt with star players. Gruden knows what that's about. So if Antonio Brown's going to get in line and perform there, that's great. We'll see if that happens. I think the precedent, as Mike is mentioning, is the bigger issue when you start talking about players around the league, star players, who now want to say, you know what? I'm going to handle my situation the same way AB did.
Look, as we said, guys, we always advocate for the players because the only money you can bank is that guaranteed signing bonus or your roster bonuses. Everything else, obviously, they can tear up. Like, look at Weddle. Weddle just lost money with the Ravens. He got cut. But I don't know if this is the way I think you want to set the precedent and go about doing it. Become the biggest blank hole you can be, force the team to trade you, create a $21 million hole. Now, again, Antonio Brown could say, shame on the Steelers for screwing this up the way they did, the way they wrote these contract language, the way that they handled the extensions, you know, the way my money was mishandled, regardless. The other team that has money is the Jets. Jets, by the way, they say they're divided amongst their personnel department and coaching staff about Le'Veon Bell, according to ProFootballTalk.com. Meanwhile, the Raiders also, because they've got money to spend,
yep,
go grab Trent Brown from the Patriots. Now, the Patriots aren't going to spend 4 years, $66 million on a lineman. They'll get another one. But Trent Brown winds up in Oakland getting a nice big contract.
It's what they do, and it's what the Raiders do. Raiders overpay. They always have. And the Patriots never pay. And they always have.
Right.
And they continue to win. So that's their philosophy. The Raiders are trying to build something back up with Gruden. He's got, that 10-year, $100 million deal, Mike. He's got time to do this, but if you're moving to a new location, we've said this, new stadium wears off. You better be good, okay? Mm-hmm. You're going to Vegas, there'll be some excitement and some buzz, but ultimately, if the team's not good, people aren't going to care, and so they got to get this thing built back up pretty quickly. That was a big story, guys. More in the Falcon Report about what it means maybe for Julio Jones. Also, Mike, in the NFL, this is interesting because we've been talking a lot about Vic Beasley. Rams are bringing back Dante Fowler. They're making a similar decision, don't you think, that we're making with Vic Beasley when you talk about their production? They struck a one-year deal with Fowler that's in the fold. Third-round pick in 2015. Tore his ACL, yeah, for those who don't remember.
The third overall pick in the first round.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I just think that this is a similar decision that we're making with Vic Beasley. He can be better. We'll bring him back. Prove it kind of year.
Right. Just the money is just so insane for Vic Beasley based on what you've got in the last two seasons. But, yeah, Dante Fowler, basically the Jaguars did what I think the Falcons should have done. They cut bait on Dante,
yeah,
Fowler as a third overall pick. You're like, that's a mea culpa. Hey, look, here's a guy, top five pick. It just ain't working. We'll get what we can for him. You could argue that the Falcons should have done the same thing at the trade deadline with Vic Beasley last year. Speaking of linebackers, the Bucs, Quan Alexander, four-year, $54 million deal. So he's out of our division. Levante David, Quan Alexander, all those great pieces on the, at least the front seven for the Bucs, and they just couldn't stop anybody. But Quan goes to the 49ers to play for Shanahan.
Yeah, John Lynch is their general manager. I think he wants to build this team. It's interesting because I think this is their battle. Shanahan knows offensively what he wants, obviously. But then you have a defensive-minded general manager who won championships with the Bucs, right?
Right,
and goes, listen, we had defense. And in this league, defense still wins. So I think that's kind of his mindset is where he wants to go with this. I think, Mike, they're going to go get an edge rusher in the draft. They may go get a big defensive tackle and an edge rusher. They've got a quarterback. They've got a great tight end. Okay. I think their running game with McKinnon is going to be on point. He was hurt.
They need one more athletic down the field to blow the top off wide receiver, you could argue. You know Shanahan wants that in his system.
No doubt. So I think that that's what they're trying to build, and you bring in Kwon Alexander. Kwon can play. I don't know what the Bucs were doing. I don't get it. Hey, it's our NFL Blitz, guys. Dukes and Bell coming up. Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network in less than 10 minutes from now to talk about the NFL draft.
Hey, Justin Houston, a guy that I wish we had picked up back in the day in the 2011 draft, but he was picked up in the third round that year. Love Georgia players. They go on to do good things. Carl, maybe this year we'll get us some. But the former Bulldog gets released by the Chiefs. They were obviously had some hard decisions between he and Dee Ford. The cap hit, by the way, was pretty strong. He was set to earn 15.2 in 2019, counts $21 million under the cap. So they could be making more moves on the edge of that defense. Houston will be able to negotiate with teams. Again, guys, and he enters a list of the top 100 free agents, according to NFL.com, at number 53, by the way.
Wow.
A little older, but a guy that certainly has been money for the right price. I'd love to have him.
But we
won't have enough money.
No, we're not going to have enough money. And speaking of having enough money, you know, this is why this year's draft for our Falcons is so important. And I've been saying this. Turn the music down, Craig. Craig, turn the music down.
Carl is going to make an important point. You'll want to hear this.
This is the most important draft for our general manager, Thomas Dimitroff. Been saying it. Okay, you can turn the music back up, Craig.
Hey, just for emphasis, Craig. You're trying to send the message.
I know you're busy. It's okay. The music stopped? Oh, okay.
Like a Swiss watch.
But Mike, this is why this draft is so important. And I know you've been on this, man. And you know, I get it. Some people say, Mike's beating the dead horse. But look at our O-line.
O-line is not sexy, and I know that we do not. And we'll talk to Daniel Jeremiah because the mindset is it's so hard. Unless you're going to a Boston College or a Wisconsin or an Ohio State, it's hard to find that talent you're looking for. So many spread offenses, so many guys that just aren't ready to do the NFL thing just yet. So a lot of teams, we're not the only one, Carl. We just, you know, kind of hit and miss, spackling our offensive line with journeyman free agents, and we'll do that again this year. We could never afford a guy like Trent Brown. Not that I would ever thought we would. Mm-hmm. That ship has sailed. Julio's new contract, hopefully we'll create a little cap. What do we got, $6 million right now?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the number squid over the weekend? We're $6 million and change right now under.
It's nothing.
No, that's room for another Fusco type sign.
Yeah, that's. And if you're wondering, you know, the NFL, the way the system is built, the Falcons will have enough money to pay their rookies. Remember, everything's
slotted.
Well,
they got to get rid of Schrader.
Well, there's a couple more cuts coming, there's no doubt. But everything's slotted. So, you know, that's not a concern. I know some people are like, well, how are they going to pay these rookies? That'll be taken care of. But the actual money to go spend on some items, all right, some fun stuff, we don't have it.
All right, so we know that we're going to have to pay Julio. But here's the question. What's that contract going to look like? He was guaranteed a bump.
Yeah.
Is he going to want to bump up to what Antonio Brown is making with the silver and black? How do you make that money?
All I'm going to tell you is the Falcon front office should have called Mike Mayock and the Raiders and cussed him out. Okay? Seriously. You just ripped up, in essence, $38.9 million over 3 years on Antonio Brown's deal, and you said, now, we're going to give you $30 million in guarantees. He had zero in guarantees with the Raiders. So you go from a situation where you were going to inherit a contract that, in essence, was a prove-it deal, right? He wasn't getting any other guaranteed money, and you ripped it up and said, here's $30 million guarantee. I think Julio's deal is going to look very similar to this based on his age, because when Antonio Brown is done with this, Mike, he'll be turning 34. This was it.
Now, he has always been a physical freak. John Gruden said he's the toughest, hardest-working guy in the NFL. So, okay, he's going to have to do that and maintain that physical fitness to make that contract make sense with the Raiders. The one thing, and you brought this up last week, the good news for a new Julio deal is you can structure the money, as we said earlier, in the form of a bonus to create more cap space, which you're going to have to anyway, just get your draft class signed.
Yep. Yeah. All right, man. Falcons got some big decisions to make. And by the way, they're not moving on from Julio. All right? This, to me, was a bigger statement about what Julio is to our franchise. You guys know we've been tough on him. I want to see him get all the reps and be out there and have the connection with Matt Ryan. So when we get in these playoff games, we're not crying about, oh, they didn't work on that. But at the end of the day, not a complainer. He's a mentor, a leader. He's everything you would ever want in a guy that you'd want on your football team. And he performs at a high level. Pay him.
Well, you're going to have about 25% of your cap space going to two guys in Matt Ryan and Julio and all that guaranteed money. Let's hope we don't go 7 weeks without a touchdown to start the season.
And that's the thing. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Daniel Jeremiah, what does he think about the Falcons, our O-line, and how do we improve it? All of that's on the way next. Hey, Mike, real quick before we talk to Daniel Jeremiah. Landon Collins, who the Giants basically said, peace. Mm. Is signing a 6-year, $84 million deal with $45 million in guarantees with the Redskins.
Oh, that's so Redskin. That is just so Redskin. I mean, that's, you know, Daniel Snyder just, and I believe, is Bruce Allen, I guess he's team president because they had to go through the general manager previous. So Bruce Allen, he's attached himself to the Redskins like a barnacle, and he just makes bad decisions after bad decisions. Remember they went and got D'Angelo Hall back in the day and paid him a king's ransom after the Raiders had paid him a king's ransom? This is just something the Redskins just always seem to do. Yikes.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, too, though.
And Landon, by the way, pro bowler, but of late struggles in coverage, you know? And, I mean, the guy, I mean, when his head is on straight, he's definitely money, but the Giants weren't prepared to pay that kind of coin.
Well, this moves the market again. I mean, this is what's going on right now in the NFL. And luckily for us, we don't have a safety issue. Keanu Neal still on his rookie deal, right? KZ as well. We just took care of Rico Allen. We're not having to worry about this, but this changes. This could be Keanu Neal money, all right, moving forward. He's going to see this kind of loot. Hey, Daniel Jeremiah, guys, from NFL Network joining us. And first thing is, how do we find some good offensive linemen in the second round of this upcoming draft?
You've got Caleb McGarry. That will be a right tackle from Washington, is kind of in that second round range. Titus Howard from Alabama State is another one that would be in that second round range. There's a good group in there. Nate Davis from UNC Charlotte could sneak into the second round as a guard. There's a lot to like there. Eric McCoy is another one from Texas A&M, play center or guard, either guard spot. So, you know, having somebody with three positions in there, you get an injury, it allows you to keep your best five on the field. So I think the second round is actually a real sweet spot for offensive linemen in this draft.
We're talking with Daniel Jeremiah here on Dukes and Bell. I wanted to ask you about the best athlete available for the Falcons, in your opinion. Is it Montez Sweat?
Yeah, I mean, look, he broke the 40 record for defensive linemen. I knew he was fast. I knew he was athletic. But at 260 pounds to run 4.4 is just stupid. So he's got ridiculous, ridiculous athleticism. Now, we haven't seen Ed Oliver test yet. I know he was a little bit heavier at 287 than what we had been told he played at in the fall. So we'll see if he slims down a little bit. But I've been told when he puts his hand on the line and does all the testing and running, he's going to be right up there too. And then we can't forget about Rashawn Gary from Michigan, who put on a show as well. So those are probably the three big freaks along the front.
Daniel Jeremiah with us here, guys, from NFL Network, breaking down the draft. And obviously the Falcons, you know, we could go with running back because we're not sure what we've got with Devontae Freeman. One thing that Dimitroff, our GM and company, have always done a good job, Daniel, is grabbing that sort of like middle round, Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman. What about running backs in the middle of the pack? Like, for instance, where's Benny Snell going to go?
Yeah, you know, Snell did not run as well. Well, that rhyme. Unintended. But he, to me, I think he's probably going to end up going in that fourth, fifth round range. Just runs hard, but you don't see a ton of juice. But there are some interesting names, you know, kind of just going back through it. And I put in all the numbers the other day, and I have my grades on these guys. Then you plug in the numbers as well. I love David Montgomery. I know he didn't run quite as fast. He ran in the low 4.6s out of Iowa State. But I just think he's an NFL back. He's ready to roll. He can make you miss. He can run you over. He's one of my favorites. When you go look at Miles Sanders from Penn State, some people have him kind of creeping in that second round range. He just made my top 50. So he's one that's kind of in that mix. There's a kid from Temple, Ryquell Armstead, who's a big physical back who runs really hard. So I think there's a good group of backs. And we talked about the offensive line, that sweet spot in the second round. I think for running backs, even going in that third, fourth round range, you're going to see some guys are going to emerge as starters in this pile.
Daniel, as you probably know, I mean, the Falcons let go one of their corners they drafted a few years ago in Robert Alford. They drafted Isaiah Oliver, a kid out of Colorado, last year. But there is a rumor, at least thoughts, that we could go corner again because of depth reasons. What do you think about DeAndre Baker at Georgia?
I would have felt a lot better about it before we got to the combine. He did not run as well, did not move around as well as I had hoped to see. The tape is really good. You go purely off what you saw in the fall. This year I thought he played as well as any corner in the country. He just needs to clean some of that stuff up at his pro day. That to me was a little bit of a concern. I don't have a corner in the top 20. I think that group, there's a clump of guys, four or five guys that belong together kind of at the bottom of round one, top of round two. And I wouldn't take one there at 14 because I don't know that there's going to be that much difference between that guy you take there versus who would be available to you in the second round. So that to me, I don't see a big time corner in this group.
Does that include Greedy Williams?
Yeah, for me it does. I know Greedy is tall and fast, but man, you see there's some tape that's not great where you see him get beat up a little bit, and to me the short area quickness is a little bit of a concern, and just the unwillingness to get involved in the run game at all. That to me, I go back and self-evaluate and guys I've missed on, and some of that toughness and physicality at that position, when you're lacking that, that's usually a little bit of a warning sign. And as many bubble screens and fly sweeps and tunnel screens, quick hitters, as we see in the NFL right now, if you're just going to hang on blocks and not show any interest in getting involved in the run game, that's a problem.
Daniel Jeremiah with us, guys. Always great to break it down. Catch him on NFL Network. They're going to provide coverage of Kyler Murray's Pro Day on Wednesday, guys. Part of their free agency frenzy starts at 10 o'clock. And again, follow him at Move the Sticks. Great Twitter handle. All right, big guy, just a wrap. We could double down on defensive tackle where the Falcons are. You going Oliver or Christian Wilkins?
Ooh, you know what? I would go with Wilkins. I have Wilkins a little bit over him. I'm going to give a little bit more size in there, a little bit more length. But if you just like, you want a chocolate donut, or do you want a glaze donut?
I want sprinkles. I want sprinkles.
Either one.
Right. All right, best offensive lineman that fits what we do, in your opinion?
I'll go with the kid at Washington State, Andre Dillard. His ability to move, he's a fantastic pass protector. I think he's the best pass protector in the draft. Obviously got a lot of practice there at Wazoo. But his ability to move and get around, laterally, it will benefit him in a big way. He'd fit perfectly.
All right, Daniel, you mentioned all the quarterbacks are gone, so that's good for the Falcons, helping us out with the depth we're looking for, maybe in tackles or offensive line. Kyler Murray, how far does he go? Is he going to the Cardinals?
If you ask me today, I'd say that I'm still going to stick with Cardinals. I don't feel 100% on that, but just talking to people around the league, that seems to be the majority of folks, what they expect to see. So I'll stick with him going to the Cardinals. If he doesn't go to the Cardinals, the next logical spot, I would say, would be the Raiders at four, and I would be very surprised, even if they signed Nick Foles, if he got by the Jags. So I would say 1, 4, or 7.
So we agree, first quarterback taken.
I think Murray will be the first quarterback, and I think you'll see Haskins go soon thereafter. So Haskins, to me, the Giants seem to be the logical landing spot.
Isaac Nada, Georgia.
Yep.
He got the letter from the NFL saying stay in school. He comes out. Is he a third, fourth rounder, or what do you think?
Nah, he ran his way into the bottom of the draft.
Wow. Okay.
He did not have a good workout. So you're already talking about somebody that's a little bit, you're thinking he's going to be an H, more of a move guy. And then you've got a loaded, loaded tight end group. And then he ran terrible.
Ugh.
So
okay.
that hurt him. I think he's probably going to be a fifth or a sixth round pick
in
this draft.
Okay. Should have stayed in school. And then Elijah Holyfield.
He had no reason for him to come out in this year's draft. There's too many guys.
Yep. And then Elijah Holyfield for dog fans. They've been asking us, and we said we'd wait to get you on. We didn't have time here, but Elijah Holyfield, also a fifth or sixth rounder, in your opinion?
Yeah, he's another one. He's got to try and clean that up a little bit. I think maybe he's, the high watermark would be the third, third or the fourth. But as it stands right now, it's, you're looking at a fifth or a sixth round guy.
Nice. Stay in school, kids.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
All right.
The other thing, too, is I always say, look, when we're doing the event, hey, be competitive, run, but look, you guys look at the example of Jarvis there. Mm. It's better to run slow once at your pro day than to run slow twice in the first time being in front of the whole NFL.
Right. It's a good point, man.
If I like you as a player, I'm a scout at your pro day, I can fudge that time a little bit. I can't fudge that electronic time at the at the combine.
A little magic with your own stopwatch. Yeah. I hear you, man. All right, Daniel, have a great call, man, up there in Nashville. We'll be watching. Thanks again.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye.
Again, guys, Daniel Jeremiah, part of the coverage this week, and they're doing stuff, all different pro days, including what's going to happen at Kyler Murray's pro day with everybody else from Oklahoma coming up on Wednesday, again, on NFL Network. Couple of things if you just missed the NFL Blitz. Quan Alexander, out of our division, signs a monster deal with the 49ers, and we just found out that only the Redskins, like they like to spend like drunken sailors, sign a monster contract with Landon Collins, so he's no longer a Giant and slides on. There'll be more moves going down, and as we said, we're just waiting to see what the Falcons may do to clear some cap space, or Julio's new bump. And by the way, what's the timeline on Julio's bump? When is that? When do we get that information coming out?
I thought that it might happen
before free agency, before the 13th.
I did, but that's Wednesday.
Oh, and by the way, none of these guys are signed. These are all reported deals that will not take effect until next week, but they are already, the word is out there that the NFL, obviously the journalists have got the news and put it out there.
Yeah, and again, these are teams or talks that, have happened. But yeah, man, I thought it might happen before free agency. It still has an opportunity to do that next couple of days, 48 hours, but I don't know if it will, Mike. I think it may happen after now.
I was talking to a couple of guys on Twitter today about it. Follow us. He's put them up. See Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. And we were talking about, like, the Trey Flowers. He's looking like he's going to sign a deal with the Lions. We talked earlier about, Patriots just moving on from guys, not doing the big contracts the way that other teams like Trent Brown just signed a monster deal with the Raiders. They just move on. They get more of those compensatory picks. And again, Carl, they'll have like another dozen picks to use in this next draft like they always do. But here's the thing with the Falcons. When we signed, again, Thomas Dimitroff back in 08, unbelievable draft class. And we've been to a Super Bowl. We've been to two NFC Championship games. But weren't we kind of looking to replicate the Patriot business model? But we just don't make those hard decisions the way they do. Of course, no one else does in the NFL for that matter.
Yeah, it is unique that they are able to make the moves they make and still be as competitive as they are. Hey, Mike Conti's coming up. Our thanks to Daniel Jeremiah. If you missed Jason Longshore, great stuff on Atlanta United as to where we need to go and maybe some things that need to be tweaked. You'll hear that a little bit later on in the show. But next, it's our man Mike Conti, in case you missed it on Dukes and Bell.
Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Coming up, we're going to talk about the conference tournament starting. ACC, SEC. Also, we've got some NCAA news about some players moving on. And actually, Mike's Florida State squad getting a player. More about that coming up at 4 o'clock as we talk college football and college basketball. But right now, it's In Case You Missed It with our man Mike Conti.
Very unusual when you go on social media and you see like 99.9% of the American public agreeing on something.
Oh, that's weird.
Very unusual. And often it's wrong. Like, remember the guy on the plane that got dragged off the plane, and 99.9% of the people in America thought that the airline was evil and the poor man was, helplessly being dragged off the plane.
Yes, we do remember that.
That's not a normal reaction, folks.
Totally ignoring the fact that he was interfering with the flight crew and all. All right. Anyhow.
I'm a doctor.
Yeah. He's a doctor, all right. Saturday in Phoenix, Arizona, woman goes to the zoo. Goes to the jaguar pen. Decides, hey, jaguar, I want to get a selfie with you.
Oh, God.
Hops the fence. Goes into the jaguar pen. Tries to get a selfie.
Why?
Jaguar's having none of it. Jaguar attacks the woman. Jaguar does not kill the woman. Mm-hmm. Scratches her up. She's going to be okay. Mm. She was taken to the hospital honestly, the woman's pretty lucky.
Right.
Couple scratches, couple cuts. So now, standard operating procedure at a lot of zoos and a lot of wildlife preserves, and unfortunately in a lot of places in this country, is that when an exotic animal attacks a human,
right,
they put the animal down.
Not the animal's fault the dingbat got in the cage.
No kidding. Right? Like when you go to Sawgrass down there in Jacksonville and there's signs everywhere, stay away from the alligators, and you go up to an alligator and he snaps at you,
right,
they take the alligator away, you're going into the alligator's house.
That's right.
Okay, you're ignoring a warning.
And being a rude guest,
right. And playing perhaps an out-of-bounds golf shot.
Mike, when did this become a thing, though? We're hearing more and more of this
stuff. I think it's called people getting stupider and stupider in this country.
or it's the Instagram generation now trying to get the wildest thing on Instagram. Anyhow, long story
the guy
short,
that fell off of El Capitan at Yellowstone. You see that one?
No.
Guy, that was a couple months back. Guy's taking a selfie. Let me get over to the end.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice job, genius.
Did he make it?
No, he's dead.
Hmm. But anyhow, the zoo came out today, and I applaud the zoo for this. The zoo said, we're not doing anything to that jaguar. Mm-hmm. The jaguar did nothing wrong. Our guest was in the wrong. The jaguar gets to live.
Nice.
That's good.
That's the way it should be.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree. She actually put the animal in danger.
Yeah.
No kidding.
That's why there's a cage. But, that's why they got a moat. That's why I think you're not supposed to get over.
But here's the thing. 99.9% of the people that I saw tweeting about this and on Facebook over the weekend were on Team Jaguar. The jaguar in Phoenix at the zoo, the living jaguar, probably has more fans than the Jacksonville Jaguars right now.
And rightfully so.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
That poor jaguar did nothing wrong. You know, if you walk into the jaguar's house, jaguar's going to give you a snack.
Right.
And that's what happened.
Good. Listen, and
hey, I got attacked by a snapping turtle one time playing golf down in Florida.
Trying to get your ball?
Let's get a picture of this little guy. He's sitting there, and you ever see how quickly those guys move when you get near him? Yeah. And sure enough, like, chomp, took a big chunk out of my finger because that's supposed to mess with the critters.
Is it gators are fast? Is it gators?
I don't know how fast they are.
In the water,
I think once they have you,
you're done.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, you're done.
But, I would not try to outrun a gator. I don't think I'm going to take that chance.
Because is always a challenge when you're playing golf. You're right about that. And you're out there, and it's like, okay. And literally, folks who are, you know, play the course regularly, and if, like I've gone down to Florida, and they go, if you lose a ball, forget about it.
Yeah. Where there's water in Florida, there's alligators, period.
I'll tell you, I think we're all going to Hilton Head, in 2 months?
Yes.
For our corporate retreat.
The retreat, yes.
We will try to test that theory. How fast can a gator be?
Okay.
And who's the fastest member of our staff?
I'm going to say John Michaels plays a lot of sports.
Well, both pretty fast, isn't he? Didn't he just play in that football game?
John twinks a lot of muscles.
Yeah, actually.
Like, I worry about his fast twitch.
That's true, Mike. That's a good point.
You know,
Squidbilly in the three-piece suit football league actually showed some moves.
I'm going to tell you something. Squid might be the fastest guy on our staff.
Okay.
Might be. It would be him or maybe Andy Bunker.
Mm.
I mean, it's sure.
I've never seen Bunk run in a straight line. Now, I have seen him play hoops, and he can laterally move. Yeah. I've never seen him run a straight line.
It's sure as heck not freaking Hugh.
Okay, if you're wondering, you're wondering why we're listening to white guys in this department, Mike, is because our athletes are a little older now and semi-retired, like Randy and Hugh. They don't have that fast twitch.
I didn't think of Randy. Randy, you know, he's got the long
Randy
straight.
Ain't running nowhere. Him. Stop.
All right. Yep. Yeah.
Craig's like me. He's got a beer belly. Craig's not doing anything in the 40.
Mm-mm.
Anyhow.
Taking a 40. That's about it.
Yeah. You and me both at that retreat. Okay. This J-Rod, J-Rod being A-Rod and J-Lo.
Oh.
Congratulations. Very, very sweet moment. Also chronicled on Instagram.
Power couple. Did they have the photographers and everything?
You know, it looked a little amateurish to me, the way that the photos were going up on Insta. But they got engaged over the weekend. I'm sure you've heard about all that. Boy, I'll tell you, Jose Canseco is not a happy camper.
Why?
Oh, you didn't hear about this?
Well, first of all, I don't know if the tweet is still up. But at some point late last night, Jose Canseco tweeted at Alex Rodriguez and said, if you want the truth, call me. And he posted what appears to be a personal cell phone number on Twitter. Now, Jose Canseco has a habit of, I don't know, I don't want to speculate, but there's been wide assumptions that Jose Canseco tweets without thinking.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So Jose Canseco called out A-Rod on Twitter for tweeting on Jennifer Lopez with Jose Canseco's ex-wife. Here are the tweets. Watching World of Dance, watching J-Lo text Alex Rodriguez. Little does she know that he is cheating on her with my ex-wife, Jessica. Poor girl. She has no idea who he really is. Another tweet. I was there a few months back with her when he called her on her phone. Another, Alex Rodriguez, stop being a piece of, you know what, stop cheating on Jennifer Lopez.
Oh!
Then, 4 minutes later, the tweets start taking an odd turn. Jose Canseco, hey, Alex Rodriguez, I challenge you to a boxing match or an MMA match anytime you want. And then 2 hours later, Jose Canseco, I am willing to take a polygraph to prove that what I am saying about Alex Rodriguez is 100% accurate.
Mm. Now, she has been, when A-Rod was single, that he was linked to Jose's ex. There's pictures of them out in the past. I believe he may have cheated on his ex-wife with Canseco's ex back in the day. Yeah. So there is some linkage there. I'm not, but he's maintaining it's still going on.
I got to tell you this though, that that's not part of the game.
Yeah.
Right? Oh man, hey, yeah,
that's not part of the game.
I'm with you,
Jose Canseco.
He's a meathead.
Putting his information, and listen, I don't know if there's any truth to this or not.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Guy code.
That's not part of the game.
Man law.
And by the way, if A-Rod, he should have been like, hey, partner, let me holler at you for a minute. Let me holler at you for a minute. Okay? That's what he should have done instead of being like, well, you know, this is. No. Come over here, man. I got something to talk to you about.
Something.
That's crazy.
I was there a few months back with her when he called her on her phone.
Oh, no.
I mean, and look, I mean, Jose Canseco is not the most credible card in the deck.
Nope.
But. This is being messy.
That's it, Mike Conti. Very messy. And by the way, Jose Canseco, why? If it's your ex, it's his ex, right?
Why does he care?
What's his ex? Who cares?
It's his ex.
I guess he doesn't want people to be happy, Carl.
That's exactly right. Move on.
Jose, by the way.
Why are you trying to regulate her?
He is 54.
All
regulators.
Right? I don't understand it. Guys do this all the time. Stop trying to regulate your ex. All right?
Hey, once,
get over it.
You and I have talked about this before on the air. I've never understood that whole thing. Once she's your ex, it's in the rearview mirror. Get on with your life. Who cares?
Don't care.
Who cares what she's doing?
It's sometimes the ties of feelings are hard to break, I guess. The one thing that Jose...
Don't get me wrong. His ex is a knockout. Jose's ex is a beautiful woman.
No doubt about it. The one thing Jose Canseco has done is he's gotten three guys in Atlanta to talk about him for about 5 minutes in a prime day part on the radio.
Which we haven't done since the steroid era.
Probably. or when he was dating Madonna.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Right. That too.
Yeah.
By the way, a much happier engagement story. And I'm happy for A-Rod and J-Lo. That's very, very nice. They seem to be truly in love with each other. Mm-hmm. I'm also very happy to report golfer Michelle Wee got engaged over the weekend.
Nice.
I haven't heard about her in a long time.
No,
she's going to be the next big thing. And she's won majors, right?
You know, I don't even know that.
I'll look it up.
But Michelle Wee, like, there were rumors that, she's going to be the first woman to play regularly on the PGA Tour. I mean, she was a phenom.
Because she's 6 feet tall and she has an amazing swing. They thought she'd be, like, more than just Tiger on the female, on the women's side of the
Tour. Right. So she got engaged this weekend. Congratulations to her. She is engaged to a 30-year-old who works for the Golden State Warriors. His name is Johnny West. And if that name sounds familiar, that is the son of Jerry West.
Nice. So she's won one major and 5 tour wins, Mike.
That's it.
Michelle Wee.
Mm-hmm.
So she's dating the son of Jerry?
Now she's engaged to the son of Jerry.
Wow.
Engaged to the son of the logo.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly, that's pretty impressive. In the sports power couple power rankings,
it's pretty strong.
I'd take those two over A-Rod and J-Lo because at least they're still active.
That's pretty strong. J-Lo, make him sign a prenup. Mike Conti, in case you missed it.
Well, it's no Marla Maples and Harmon Wages, but it's close, Mike.
He will come back in the 5 o'clock hour. Coming up, we've got some college football and basketball conversation. Tournament is on the way. It's all coming up on 92.9 The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.